Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord. We know, Lord, there is no name above your name. There is no name that has such power and such majesty and such compassion and love for us. And so, Lord, we just know that the name of Jesus is sweet upon our lips. And, Lord, it fills our heart with hope and love and joy. And so, Lord, this morning we come humbly before you, just grateful and thankful for all that you are in our lives. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. Well, good morning. Isn't it good to be in God's house?
Yes.
It is. It really is. Woohoo! Awesome. Hey, I got a couple of things to share with you, and we're going to jump right in. The youth have a youth retreat coming up. It's going to be awesome. And one thing that Pastor Steve and Desiree wanted me to let you know, that if you have a teen that you would like to have them go, but you're concerned about the cost, don't. We will take it. We don't want one kid, teen, they're not kids, they're teen, young adults. We do not want one young adult to be left behind. So please go speak to Pastor Steve and Desiree. They're going to be across the way, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Next Sunday, they're going to have a meeting after service about that youth retreat, and I'm super excited. And after second service today, we're having our fellowship feast because it is our 12th year anniversary today. Unbelievable what God has done in 12 years. It's just, we'll talk about that all day today. That's our message today, is our Vision Sunday. We call it Vision Sunday because it's important that we know where we're going. And we'll talk about that. So 12 years. As some of you know, I came out of Calvary Chapel, Houston. I got saved there, discipled there, ordained there. I got kicked out of there. No, I'm just... They didn't kick me out. They thought about it, but they didn't. No. Now, I came here after 2 years of prayer. 2 years of much prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? And what was interesting is he gave me a verse right away. He gave me a verse, and the verse that he gave me, and I didn't know I was coming here. I just want to show you how God works. When I got this verse, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not sure. Yes, I did. All this is true, but I'm not sure what does that mean. Listen to this. This was before I knew this is where he wanted me. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I had no idea that that was going to be the case. Hey, listen, we're going to be on the Bible bus, and I think the ushers want to put Bibles in your hands. So if you need a Bible, you want to follow along, we're going to be jumping around quite a few verses. So if you need one, they'll put one in your hand. But right now, what I did, I found some videos, a couple of videos. I spliced them together regarding, you know, where we've come as a church. Just to give you, very short, it's 2 minutes long. I hope it blesses you. And here you go. God is good. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." And we saw that. And as you saw, we were talking about at that time, we were going to turn that area over there. We weren't going to put youth room and all that stuff over there. We're just going to make that a sanctuary and children's church. And then we were going to split this up. But through prayer, God said, no, that's not a good idea. That's not what I want you to do to our house. See, here at HBC, we try to be hypersensitive to what God wants. We may have ideas, but his are always better. But I want you to know, so we were at that little building in on Plantation. Thank God for that building. That's where we started. Our first church meeting was 12 people. The next Sunday, we were in that building. We met in a restaurant for the first day. Then we met there, and everyone invited people. So we had about 20 people. It was pretty exciting. We outgrew that in a month, and then we ended up over here in this round building, and we outgrew that in less than 2 years. We were going to three services, and I asked the guy, I said, hey, John Benfield, can we use, this was empty. You could see the frame, the wood studs. There was no insulation, no carpeting. It was raw concrete. We had five different types of chairs that half of them were from the casinos. They were hideous. you could sit in them, right? But it was wintertime. And the stage we had at that time was plywood on top of milk crates. And so when I go like this, I go, ree, ree, I was like, he's the squeakiest pastor ever. But there was no AC and no heat. It was wintertime. The first sermon I gave in here, I could see my breath. And the people were shivering. And I was like, what have I done? What have I done? I told the leadership, I said, we just lost a whole bunch of people. They're not going to come back for next service. The next Sunday, there were more people. People brought blankets. They were sharing. Everyone was cuddling. I was like, whoa, 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 I got to give a message. Quit the cuddling. No. But everyone was, it was like one big family. It was so awesome. And God just continued to grow the church and grow the church. And grow the church. And here we are. We got two services last Sunday. This service was more packed than now. Second service was absolutely packed. Saturday, we got 50 people coming. It's just exciting what God is doing. And Proverbs 29:18 says this. Where there is no vision, hear me in this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, too often, here's what happens in a lot of churches. They start off with a vision. We're going to build a church. But then they reach their goal and they stop having new vision. And they get comfortable. Listen, we want a new vision every year because we don't want to perish. We want to flourish. And that's exactly what God is doing. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what is HBC's vision. What is our vision? So that you come here, you're new here, or you've been coming a while, that you know what our vision is and where we're going. What is vision? So I looked it up. Here's the definition of vision, a good one I liked. The capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond to that which is desirable, which could be, which should be, to that which is obtainable. And here's the thing. Any vision that we have from God is attainable, even if it seems unreasonable and just crazy. Leaving Houston to come here was crazy. But now I see it's not. Listen, that's the same for your life as a Christian. God has a vision for your life. And sometimes the things you hear from him, you're like, that can't be God. That's ridiculous. That's too outlandish. No, no, no. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, if God is strengthening us, then there's no end to the strength that we have. And to have a godly vision, listen, right now in today's world, we need a godly vision. It's right for our time. It's right for our church. A godly vision is right for God's people. A godly vision, listen, when you have a godly vision, it promotes faith rather than fear. It motivates people to action. Here you go. A godly vision requires risk. There's always risk involved. God likes to push the envelope. But here's the cool thing. When you take that risk and God brings glory, it glorifies God, not people. People should never be the recipients of glory. So Pastor Randy,
yes.
What is a godly vision? What's a godly vision for HBC that involves all of us? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says this: Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Anything and everything that will bring glory to God, you can do. God may even be calling you to it. According to the power that works in us, we all have the Spirit of God in us. And because God's Spirit is in us, he wants us to do the impossible. And you can be a part of that here at HBC. Now, in case you haven't noticed, now there were no bulletins this morning. I apologize for that. But if you hadn't noticed on our bulletins, on the wall over there, on different cards around the church, you'll see that we have translated our vision from Ephesians 4:12 into four equal statements. And here's our vision. If you want to know, here it is. Worship the Lord, win the lost, disciple the saved, and send the equipped. So basically, worship, win, disciple, send. And so what I want to do right now is I want to pick those four parts, those four pieces, those four phrases. I want to pick them apart. Worship the Lord. We desire to worship God from our hearts, and not just from our hearts, in a spirit of truth. That's what John 4:24 says, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Why? Worship prepares our heart to walk faithfully. It really does. As we proclaim his goodness, it reminds us why we want to be faithful to him. Worship prepares our heart to receive the word of God. It softens the heart. Worship prepares the heart to have a positive effect on the kingdom of God. Do you realize that we all have an opportunity to further and be a positive part of the movement of God? We get to lead God, we get to lead people to Christ, lead the lost to Christ. And by the way, if you have an ability to play an instrument well or sing well, but you also must have a heart for worship, not just music. But if you have that, listen, you can join the worship team. They would love to have more musicians, more, as long as your heart is to worship, not to show off. Now imagine this. If you can manage Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat and things like that, you could even be involved in putting up videos. It's no harder than that. Or do videos, you know, live stream. Or how about this? Maybe you're the type of person who really loves music, and when you listen to your favorite artist, you pick out different instruments, or you can tell the difference between good pair of speakers and a bad pair of speakers. Not sneakers, speakers. Well, you could join the sound team. We can train you how to do that. But these are opportunities for you to be a part of the vision of this growing church and where we're going. So that's a part of worship, offering your service, but also our praise worship. And then win the lost. We desire to win the lost over to a saving faith, to give people, to win them over to a new hope in Jesus Christ. I didn't have a hope. I was hopeless before I met Jesus. And I'm sure many of you were as well before you came. And listen, every single person out there in the world who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't care how fun they are, how much they joke, they are hopeless without Christ. And you have the key. We want to win the lost by proclaiming the word of God. That's why Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God, and we have that opportunity to be that word of God audibly. We want to win the lost by living an example. A living example. Hebrews 12:1 says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, there are people watching you right now. If you claim to be a Christian, there are people going, so that's what a Christian looks like, and that's what they act like. It's true. When you have an opportunity to show them the difference between not having Christ, the hope that we have, especially in hard times. So listen, we want to worship the Lord, which prepares us to go out and win the lost. And then once we've won the lost, we want to disciple the saved. We desire to lead others by our example, by when we follow the truth of God's word. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11, one, this is probably one of the rare times I'm going to quote the NIV. It says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You see, you and I, and that's what this whole message, hang on. This whole message is about you and I following Christ's example. In other words, when you say I'm a Christian, that means Christ-like. And if we're Christ-like, then we should definitely be following the example. And then, of course, we want to worship, win, disciple, and then send. Our desire is to fulfill the Great Commission, where Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, and 19, go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, that is for leadership, but that's for every Christian. You know, I go up to the leadership and I say, hey, who are you discipling? Oh, no one? Well, you better start or you're not obeying the word. See, that's the key, is to obey God's word. And you know what? Our prayer is also maybe one day we'll ordain someone to go out and start a new Harvest Bible Church somewhere else. So we want to worship when? Here, we'd strive to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why our church verse, the church verse that we stand upon is Ephesians 4:12 that says this, for the equipping of the saints, that's every believer, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So here's the thing. We are to be doing the work of the ministry and building each other up in the body. Yes, you can do, we should be doing stuff outside to bring the saved to church or to another church. They don't have to come here, but to get people saved. But when we come together, we're to be serving one another. And then it says this in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to that perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to that perfect man. That doesn't mean you and I need to be perfect. No, mature. You see, that's my goal as a pastor. My goal as a pastor today is to encourage you on how you can mature in your faith. In other words, Ephesians 4:12-13 is saying, listen, we need to come together. We need to serve one another. We need to challenge one another. We need to help each other grow until we all mature into very spiritual Christians, Christ-like. And that's why, like, you know, I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again. There are all the ministries are valuable here. Okay, but we don't have to have them. I've said this before. You ever go to a restaurant? There's no host. And they go, hey, just find a seat. Can you find a seat at a restaurant? Or you go, I don't know where to go. I'll go outside. Should I sit in the car? No, you go, yeah, no problem. I'm going to take this table, right? Listen, we have the ushers here because it's convenient, and more importantly, it gives those who are ushers an opportunity to serve and to mature. Same thing, we'll talk about some other ministries in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. So HBC is providing you a place to grow into the stature of Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus is the one who said, I came to serve, not to be served. Pastor Randy, yes, almost every teaching that you give is on serving. Do you realize that I'm only going verse by verse and I only teach what's there? So if I'm teaching on serving, then what does that mean? Well, you figure it out. We'll talk about that in a minute. Pastor Randy, yes, I'm going to ask myself a lot of questions on your behalf today. You're like, he talks to himself a lot. Yes, he does. He's annoying. He won't shut up. Okay. Pastor Randy, yes. What is HBC's membership program like? I'm glad you asked. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's keep going past that. So it says, until we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, complete or mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you are a born again believer, if you've surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, guess what? You're part of the body of Christ. But I go to the Baptist church or I go to the Pentecostal church. Doesn't matter. You're part of the body of Christ. Oh, I see. You're asking, how do you get plugged in here? Well, the best way to get plugged in here is to begin to serve. But there's no membership anywhere in Scripture. That's why we don't teach membership, because it's not there. You won't find it. And so being that we're a church that goes verse by verse, I only have and we only do that which is in the Scripture. However, he goes on here in Ephesians 4 after verse 13 and tells us what it's like if you're not on board getting plugged in. These are not my words, folks. This is the Word of God. Look at verse 14. So in other words, if you get plugged in, if you're doing your part, if you're the saint who's doing the work of the ministry, great. But if not, here's what he says, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. When you or I, when we're not plugged in, we tend to fall into all kinds of snares of scriptural and biblical inaccuracies. It's easy to do. And then he says this, and so you fall away if you're not plugged in, but then he says this, the mature believer, verse 15, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom, listen to this, from whom the whole body, that's us, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies. And by the way, I tell the congregation all the time, y'all are joints. Okay. You're a joint. Okay. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplying according to the effective working by the Holy Spirit that's in you, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so when people tell me, oh, Pastor, I serve at my job, I serve outside the church. Great, you should, yay, way to go, go get them. But we're also supposed to be edifying one another in the body. It is replete throughout Scripture. The best and most effective type of growth in a church is when every part does its share. When we all fit together like a puzzle, the attributes I'm missing, you have, and the ones you're missing, I have. And when we come together, we complete the Christ image in the church. Serving is the best way to get connected. Serving is the best way for your walk to grow. That is why, as a pastor, I encourage you to serve. That's why we come up with ministries, just so to give you an opportunity to serve. Now, if I didn't teach like this, we would have a church 10 times larger. But because I tackle the hard stuff and I don't water it down, okay, so I pray you're not going to leave after today, but let me show you what, and remember this, this is God's word. I'm going to read, you tell me, this is God's word. I'm going to read it. I'm not even going to explain it. You tell me what he's saying, okay? This isn't Pastor Renny. Watch this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, watch this, As a man spares his son who serves him, then once more, watch this, you shall see the distinction. He says there's going to be a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Okay, got that? The distinction between what? Righteous and wicked. Between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. I'm not even, you figure it out. Pastor Randy?
Yes?
You're taking it too far, man. No. I'm not taking it far enough, actually. But it's because the Bible does. I'm not even explaining it to you, but you can hear it. Now, I hope you realize, if you've been coming any period of time, other than today, you know, but I go verse by verse. I pick a book and I go through. I don't skip over the hard stuff. I don't skip over the stuff that you won't like and I don't like. I tackle it. Unfortunately, this is a very unpopular topic, but it is the foundation of church. Hang this on your belt, and I'm going to talk. There are other topics that you are happy that I don't ever talk about. Well, and I'm going to talk about them today. So hang that on your belt, because we're going to use it in a little bit. See, God has called us to get in the game, not just keep score. Do you realize that God tends to use those who are closest to him? Then get near him. Get close to him. Pastor Randy, how do I do that? Well, listen, I want to personally invite you. If you didn't know, we have a Wednesday night service, midweek service. You mean go to church two times? We have a Saturday night service. Three times? Listen, all of the things that we do, and we're going to talk about some of them, it's all about the gospel. But when I say that, some people don't understand what the gospel is. Some people got this impression that it's, you know, a field of power. You know, I heal thee. That's just not the gospel. That's preachy. And there's a time for that. Repent. Okay, that's good. Here's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It spells it out for us. Now, I would remind you, brethren, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. Here you go. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. He was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture. That is our fuel. That is our fire. That is our passion. That is our foundation for everything that we do here. I want, the leadership of this church wants, and more importantly, God wants HBC to be a life-saving station. That's the most important. Okay, Pastor Randy. Then why don't you have the children and the youth in service so they can hear the word? And well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, the typical child won't get anything out of the message that I bring. Now, I said typical. Why? We've had a couple of kids that would, one boy I remember, he'd sit right in the front, right there, and he wouldn't move, and he was watching me. And I was like, this kid can't, he's daydreaming or something. And then his parents would tell me, they'd go to the supermarket and he would preach to them what he heard me teach on Sunday. And he was like about 5 years old. And he would sit every Sunday, he was right there in the front row. He wanted to sit in front with, and he would sit there and listen. And they said, he understood everything you said. I'm like, wow, I need to read some books or something. But here's the thing. That's not typical. Most children, if you brought them in here, if everyone brought their children in, we'd have a racetrack right here. Be a figure eight, and they'd be slamming into each other. We'd hear water bottles crackling through the whole thing, crying. All kind of, I've been to churches like that. So what we do, we want the children to meet Jesus, so we go to great lengths to put a awesome children's church together where they are taught on their level. And someone will inevitably say, well, shouldn't the children see their mom and dad worshiping God? Shouldn't they all come in as a family? Here's the problem. If your kids only see you worship God in church, they're going to think that that's the only time you seek God, and they're going to possibly begin to think that it's hypocritical. They should see you worship and read your Bible at home. But here, what we want is we want the children to have their undivided attention given to God, and we want adults to have undivided attention. So we have age-appropriate teaching for the children, and you can be involved in that. But then it comes to the youth. Well, let me tell you about our youth. First of all, they come in one Sunday a month into service because they're teenagers. You know, they can understand me. They get me. So they come in one Sunday a month. Also, when they graduate, that they don't feel uncomfortable in here. But we've taken even a step further. They also come in some Wednesday nights when we do Q&A, and some of them do some amazing answers to some tough questions. It's pretty impressive. But we also have on Saturday night, we have our youth team leading worship, and they are doing awesome. And here's what I decided to do. I asked one of the young men from our youth worship team to come up and share a song for you so you can get a taste, because some of you have never heard them. Here comes Marcus. He's going to do a song, and pray you enjoy it. That's enough. That is awesome. Listen, we're excited. And by the way, today is the unveiling, the grand opening of our new youth sanctuary right across. So we want to encourage you to take a look. I think it's towards the beginning of next service. I think they're going to cut the ribbon and take the kids in there and let you go look in. They've done a lot of work. It's fantastic. But see, that's the goal. The goal is that no matter what the age, they need Jesus. We need Jesus. And so we understand that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so we teach the kids on their age, but according to their age, we've got the youth group going. But then we have something else. We have our bookstore. Did you realize that we're the only church in the valley that I know of that has a bookstore? We are the only Christian bookstore in the valley. Which is so cool, because people will call and they'll say, hey, I heard you have a bookstore. Yeah, come Sunday. Yeah, or Saturday or Wednesday. Yeah, thank you. Very nice. Very nice. But we got, back there, we got Bibles, we got devotionals, we got t-shirts, and we got window stickers. Now, I'm going to tell you, in case you didn't realize, I love the window stickers. In fact, sometimes I walk through the parking lot and I go, window sticker? No window sticker. Whose car is that? But it's cool. You know, Joe Jones, great guy, realtor. He and a lawyer friend of his, they came over and they said, man, those window stickers and those, what great marketing. It's not marketing. It's proclaiming. It's proclaiming Jesus. That's the goal. If they go to another church, but if it reminds them, hey, I should go to church, yay. That's the goal. So listen, we got a bookstore. We provide that because we want people to grow in their faith and their word. But not just that. Do you realize that if you want to go to an extracurricular Bible class, if you want to learn more, we have classes almost every single night. Monday night, men and women's, we talk about it all the time at 6 o'clock. And then Tuesday morning, we repeat the women's. Tuesday night, every other week is Pioneer. And that's just a home fellowship. We have Wednesday, midweek study. But then Thursday, Thursday, we have a doubleheader. We have one step for recovery or any kind of addiction. It doesn't have to be drugs. And then we have Empower Her, another women's study. And then Friday night, we have Access every other Friday for young adults. And we have a couple of new classes that are going to be starting up on Saturdays and Sundays. So, man, classes galore. There's ample opportunity for you to grow in the Word. And that's our goal. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the God who loves us. Now, you might also notice, and I hope you have, that we really put a lot of effort to make the church look nice and to keep it looking nice. You know, we have we had a pastor, and she's still here. When he came, I said, "Hey, do me a favor. Come and meet with us. Look at our service and give us some pointers on some things that maybe we've missed." And one of the first things he said before he gave us any kind of correction or something and telling us what we could improve on, he said, "Man, I walked the grounds." He goes, "It looks so nice. And the bathrooms are always clean. And they're, yeah, you know what? I love that." And it should be. Here's the verse. When I first read this verse, it resonated with me, and I was like, man, there's some truth there. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 through 7. It's actually seven verses, but anyways. Solomon. Solomon was considered to be the wisest man to ever live. God gave him supernatural wisdom. He also had human stupidity, but he had supernatural wisdom. Oh, you got to know his life. But look what it says. So 1 Kings 10, verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. So she came to throw everything at him, including the kitchen sink. She's going to ask him some tough questions. So this is verse 3. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom. No, did you hear that? So she asked him all the questions. He answered them all. Nothing was too hard for her. And she's like, wow. But then it says this. When the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon and the palace that he had built, and the food on the table, and the seating of his officials, and the attending servants in their robes, and the cupbearers, the burnt offering he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She wasn't overwhelmed by him being able to answer all her questions that she had prepared. She was overwhelmed when she saw the neatness and the care that was put into the palace. And she said this, verse 6. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not the half was told to me. The wisdom and the wealth you have far exceeded the report I heard." I think it's important, and we feel here at HBC it's important, when you come, that the facilities be pristine as much as we can. With whatever God puts in our hand. When we were at the community center down there, we did the best we could with what we had to make everything nice and neat and keep everything clean. The bathroom is clean because that's a sign of wisdom, doing all things as unto the Lord. And so here we have an incredible cleaning team, maintenance team. We have a landscaping team. And man, they keep this place looking great and nobody sees them. They're behind the scenes. But man, every single one of them is so, you come and see them when they're serving, so full of joy, so joyful. It's amazing. It is amazing. Now, side note, the Queen of Sheba, notice that she saw the way the servants were dressed. So you might say, Pastor Randy, does HBC have a dress code? Yes. Wear some clothes. Please. We don't ask you to dress to the nines. There are churches that dress to the nine. And if they came here, they would look at us and say, how disrespectful. Well, some of you look great, but they would look at me and go, how disrespectful. You're the pastor. No. Listen. Some of y'all look great. So some of us, I'm speaking for me, I mean to offend you. You're beautiful, okay? But the religious leaders at Jesus' time, the religious leaders, they look great on the outside. Look what Jesus said to them. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, full of dead men's bones and every unclean thing. Would you rather have a pastor in a $1,000 suit who lives like hell, or would you rather have a guy in jeans and tennis shoes who really loves the Lord and the Word? Well, if we can find that guy, I say we can. When we find him, we'll go ahead and tell him to come. So, no, we don't have a dress code. We have a heart code. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. That's all we... Now, we have a few people that dress up really nice and look spectacular. Yay, go you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. As long as we don't impose that. I don't impose for you to wear a Hulk shirt. You don't impose on me to wear a tie. I normally wear Hulk shirts. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Listen to what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We are going to have fellowship feast today. We're going to break bread together. And prayerfully, you know, there's prayer all throughout, pockets of prayer here. That is good. And that's, thank God we have a wonderful kitchen ministry that does all this stuff. And they usually fellowship feasts, by the end of the day, they're pooped. But they love it. They're serving us. And then on another way that we break bread is we break bread with the needy. We have Fruits of Harvest that gives out food to the needy. And we do that every week. And we don't just give them food. We give them prayer. We give them the gospel. And so we're fulfilling Acts chapter 2 by doing these things. Now, remember earlier I said, you know, I teach on serving and it comes up all the time. And it's only because I go verse by verse. And I said, hang that on your belt. Because although that's hard to take, there are other things that, because I go verse by verse, I don't really cover very often, and you might actually appreciate that. Remember I said to hang it on your belt? Take it off your belt. Here we go. Did you notice that we don't pass an offering plate here? We don't. We never do. Never will. We don't do fundraising. We don't ask you to pledge so we can buy a new carpet or new chairs. God has built HBC through nothing more than prayers. If you've been coming while, in fact, I will say this. If you came all of last year and you've come till now, a year and a half, if you've come a year and a half, you probably heard me in Sunday and Wednesday. You probably heard me talk about giving financially maybe once or twice. Now think about this. Why? Why did I only cover it once or twice? Because that's when it came up in the scripture. I only teach verse by verse according to what's in the scripture. Here's a question. If in a year and a half, I've only taught on money once or twice, why is it that some churches, they talk about it every Sunday? Isn't that an interesting thought? Obviously, the Bible doesn't talk about money as much as some pastors do. But pastor?
Yes.
Giving is important. People need to... Yes, giving is important. Prayer is important. Worship's important. Serving's important. It's all important. I don't do this. When we're worshiping, I don't stand in front going, you're worshiping. Oh, good. All right. Oh, no. Lift your hands up. Here it comes. Flashlight. This is not a plate. This is a flashlight. Spot on you. Are you worshiping? Not too good. So. Hey, great. Awesome. Great worship. We don't do that. We don't want any pressure. We don't want any pressure on you when you worship. We don't want any pressure on you for prayer. We don't want any pressure on you for serving. And we don't want any pressure on you for giving. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says that God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is hilarious. God wants you to give going, I just gave money. Oh my, I'm so stupid. No, you're not stupid. No, you're not. Giving to God is a wonderful thing. But here's what we know. Here's what we know at HBC. The mature believer will give out of the abundance of their heart. We don't have to ask. We don't have to pressure you. Because pastors will come up to me. Wait, pastor, let me get this straight. This is another pastor talk. I've heard this many times. Wait. You don't pass a plate. No, sir. You don't do fundraisers. Nope. You don't ask for people to pledge. Nope. Yet you bought one building, commercial building, 16,000 square feet, and paid it off in 5 years, and now I've bought a second building. Yep. How'd you do that? Oh, hold on. I'm going to give you a chance to give glory. How'd you do that? Prayer and faith that God will do what God's going to do for his house. That was so ridiculous of me. I'm sorry. That was silly. But listen, he does deserve all the glory. He does. We didn't have some kind of goal, or we don't do a thermometer. We don't do any of that. We just go, let's see what God wants to do. And he's always been faithful. So one thing you'll never see an usher or a greeter or security, by the way, we have first aid too. Well, you'll never see them pass a plate. Never. You will see them pass Bibles. Yep. Because we believe in the power of the word of God. Now, okay, well, does the church give too? Yeah, we do. We support Angel Manor. We have for 11 years now. Kingman, it's a shelter for men and women and families. I think they're up to 5 or 6 houses now that they house. And now each one of these houses holds like 20, 30 people. But yeah, they're doing a great work. Savannah Crabtree was one of my, she was a youth in my youth group when I was a youth pastor. She's in Africa leading kids to the Lord. And she's going to come and speak in a couple of weeks. I can't wait for her to get here. But now we've started supporting her mom and dad too. And we just recently stopped because he left Israel. Pastor Dove, who was in Israel, we were supporting him. And we were supporting Set Free and Needles. And I want you to know, we give more than 10%. In fact, they love when they see an HBC check because it is no little thing. We give graciously. And so we believe in, yes. And by the way, we don't just give graciously. We give hilariously. We're laughing every time we write the check. I'm just joking. So we believe in missions. And by the way, we have a ministry. It's probably one of the best kept secrets. Door-to-door ministry. They go around, knock on doors. I did that for 12 years. It's awesome. And that's because 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I told you what the gospel was, right? And in fact, we have some wristbands. They're those little rubber band wristbands coming. And it's going to say on there, each one, reach one. And it's going to be for Epic Easter. And we're going to give it to all you to remind you when you see it on your wrist that you go, you know what? If each one of us, we're about 500 or 600 people on a given Sunday, we fluctuate. If each one of us reach one, then when we go to do Epic Easter, we may be looking at 1,000 to 1,200 people. The potential for people to get saved is going to be amazing, but it's up to us. And so it all begins, folks, brothers and sisters, family, it all begins in the church. And by the way, we have plans for the future, but just like when we were building out that other section over there, yeah, we have plans, but we're also going, God, but what do you want us to do? Because he may change our plans. So what we do is we pray. We pray over where we think God might want us to go, and we wait and we listen. We wait to hear him confirm and give us confirmation in our heart through scripture. And you can join us. I want to encourage you to join us in praying for this church and praying for your walk and praying for the lost. We have prayer on Friday at 5:30. We have prayer on Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 8 o'clock before service to fuel the service. And so these are awesome opportunities for you to grow in your faith. Now, by the way, I know I've given you a lot. But if you have any questions about any of the stuff I talked about, you're like, Pastor Randy, you can call our church office. It's called Apples of Gold. There are answering, there are ladies, our receptionists, and men. And they answer the phone. They'll answer your question. They'll schedule an appointment for me. And you know when you get mugged, they schedule the appointment for you to come and have a lunch with some of the leadership, and we can get to know each other. And so... anyone new here today that didn't get mugged? No, you didn't get mugged. Okay, all right. We're going to make sure you get mugged. And you're like, whoa. If you're new here, like, I don't want to get mugged. Someone came up to me and said, hi, you're new here. Have you been mugged? I go, yeah, once in Houston, but not that kind of mugged. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So listen. God has done some amazing things in just 12 years. You know, we have very few people who were here in the very beginning. If you were here in the very beginning, raise your hand. Who is here? Look at that. Okay. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? And now that it's over? No, I'm just... Listen, we have had a lot of things happen. We have a lot of activity. We're a lot of activity, but not a lot of leaves. We're looking for fruit. We don't just have activity for activity's sake. Like I said earlier, we want HBC to be a life-saving station. But none of this could be accomplished on just one person or two people. It takes the whole body serving. And maybe you feel today, maybe you feel like, well, I can't really do much. Listen, one person put it this way. Don't despise the little things. A little lantern can do what a bright sun can never do. It can shine at night. Listen, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let your light shine. Get it ignited. No one can help everyone, but everyone can help somebody. And if we all come together, I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. So as your pastor, I want you to know where I stand. I tip my hat off to the past years, but I roll up my sleeves for what's ahead. Because God has a plan and a purpose for this church and for my life and for yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all you've done. Because Lord, we could have never done this on our own. And Father, you have done exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or think. And then some. God, the things you have done. And so, Lord, we come humbly before you, excited. If you did this in 12 years, Lord, what have you been doing in 2,000 years as you've been preparing a place for us? And Lord, we pray that you would come and get us soon. But if you tarry, if we still have another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, Lord, I want to be found faithful when you do come. And Lord, I want to see more and more people come to saving faith. And those who are saved, I want to see them, Lord, grow in their faith. And so, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here this morning, may we all examine our hearts. And Lord, it's easy to become complacent. It's easy to forget that there's a vision for each one of our lives. That is why we are saved. That is why you placed your spirit in us. And so, God, I don't know if anyone here needs prayer, but I know there are some deacons up front that would love to pray and maybe help this be a new day in many of the lives of my friends and family here. And Lord, I just love this church. I love your people. And most of all, Lord, we all love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Let's stand, sing one last song. And if you need prayer, the deacons are up here to pray with you.